Welcome to another episode of the Beck Lover Podcast. This is Beck Lover Live streaming all over the world. It's bright here in the studio. It's your guy, Beck Lover. And I'm here to quickly go over today's headlines, give you my opinion, since you care so much to hear it. And I thank you for that. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, the share button. Tell all your friends and family. There's a crazy guy on the internet. He's kind of entertaining. He's kind of annoying, but he's kind of intelligent. But sometimes I like what he says and sometimes I don't. I can't make you all happy. I'm going to read out the headlines today. We got a lot going on in the world. I'm reporting here from New York City. It's a beautiful day here in New York. Gorgeous, but it's a nice autumn day here in New York City. It's a little like, 60-ish, 62-ish. It's not too cold. It's not too warm. You need a little sweater. It's that time of the year. Very close to Halloween, which is one of the funnest times in New York City. If you've never been to New York during Halloween and you celebrate Halloween, I do not. Because I think it's demonic. I got my front lawn. My tenants got bodies, like corpses. It looks like it's sick. Now, have I enjoyed Halloween in the past? Yes, but I'm more spiritual now. I believe in God and I don't like the demonic undertones of that day. So I don't partake anymore. Besides, when you live in New York City, every day is Halloween. You should see the zombies walking in the streets. There's a lot going on. Obviously, the Israel-Hamas conflict. Two more hostages were freed. There's a lot going on in that world, and we'll cover some of that today. Donnie Boy, Donald Trump, his lawyers, his friends, everyone seems to be jumping ship as they're being drawn into these legal situations. We're going to cover a little bit about one of his most powerful soldiers who stood and spoke so strongly a few years ago and cried like a baby today for mercy in a trial regarding the election in Georgia. Iran, it seems like America's just trigger happy, just cannot wait to start a war with this country. It's like they've been dying to for years. I don't think not more than Israel itself. I don't know how you feel about that, but I know as an American, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want my country going to another war. I'm sick and tired of all this destruction. We'll cover that a little bit. Make sure you subscribe. I'm back on the airwaves. Check out my Instagram also, B-E-K. That's B like boy, E like Edward, K like Kimberly, Beck Lover, NYC. You can subscribe to my exclusive content that I do there. I kind of show you my life, guys. Stuff that I don't put that's all curated and looks all great for the rest of the world. But for you that pay, I give you access. Now, I'm going to be hanging out with Rachel Ray, the celebrity chef and cook on Thursday. I'm probably going to shoot a few scenes of what I'm doing and where I'm at with her. And she's become a very good friend over the last year. My life has become very exciting. And it's because of people like you. I thank you for your support. I'm trying to do my best to be a positive voice in this world. You're not always going to agree with my opinions. I invite the debate in my comments. It's okay if you think I'm wrong. Take it easy on the insults because one of my favorite buttons on social media is block. You can call me, stupid, this and that, but when you say nasty things, you trolls, I'm going to block you. I really don't care. But you have the right to question me or say I'm wrong. And I am not arrogant enough to say that I know everything and I'm the most smartest person in the world and you don't know. And especially with topics that are very complicated like Israel and Palestine, that a lot of people just have like a 1 week memory and they don't want to look back 75 years ago and kind of catch up to where we are. I have friends and family on both sides of the aisle. So, of course, it's a touchy subject. Everyone's at arms. The problem is nobody wants to look at the whole story and give both sides, understanding or context or whatever the case may be. It's become very, very charged. It's a very charged environment. Most people are just staying away from it. You got people like DJ Khaled, who's Palestinian. I mean, I don't get it. The guy's Palestinian. He doesn't even talk about what's going on over there, which I think is probably, I understand maybe from a business perspective, or maybe all his shot callers are Israeli or Jewish and he's just scared of what they would. I don't know why he doesn't talk about it. regardless, I just think that that's an example of someone that's high profile that stayed out of it, that really has a reason to talk about it. Because regardless of what you believe is going on in that conflict, I do believe there has been way too many civilian casualties. Okay, way too many. And when one out of two people basically in Gaza is a civilian, it's like you're not wrong for asking for a ceasefire. Or can you? I mean, at bare minimum, the guy should ask for a ceasefire. Not trying to pick on DJ Khaled, but those are your people, bro. In any event, Trump, we're getting close to the next election. It's been chaos ever since this guy entered the game. Many people would argue that's because he showed us behind the curtain. The Associated Press, Jenna Ellis became the latest Trump lawyer to plead guilty over efforts to overturn Georgia's election. Attorney and prominent conservative media figure Jenna Ellis pled guilty Tuesday to a felony charge over efforts to overturn Donald Trump's 2020 election loss in Georgia, tearfully telling the judge she looks back on that time with deep remorse. Ellis is the fourth defendant in the case to enter into a plea deal with prosecutors, was a vocal part of Trump's re-election campaign in the last presidential cycle, and was charged alongside the Republican former president and 17 others with violating the state's anti-racketeering law. This is in Georgia. And if you guys remember, she was on the news all the time trying to overturn the election. She was making a lot of accusations. A lot of people on the right believe she was crucified at the stake for trying to stand up for the Constitution and overturn the election, which I think anyone that kind of just takes a step back can see was kind of shady. There's a lot of shady shit that went down. In any event, her standing by Trump backfired on her, and this guy held her life in his hands. Look at this guy. Imagine, like, this guy looks like Stone Cold. I'm talking about the judge, if you're listening to me on audio. His name is Fulton Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee. He's seen on the bench during the plea by Jenna Ellis in Fulton County. Could you imagine you got in trouble and this is the guy? You got to look at this guy. He's got your life in the hands. This guy looks, and I hate to use the expression, but he literally looks like SS German, like execute the prisoner. Like that's how this guy's face. He literally looks like an SS officer, World War II, stone face cold. The guy that was like patrolling the camps. Like this is the way this guy looks. Maybe this is why she cried. I don't know. But I want to, before I show you the video of her sobbing and crying and begging for mercy, I'd like to show you kind of how she was before she got pulled into this this trial for her life. So let's play a little clip. This is like after the election, the chaos that pursued after, and, you know, a lot of accusations of, you know, manipulation, all that stuff. It came back to bite her. But if you listen to her back in those days, and this video here I'm about to show you is from 2 years ago, Jenna Ellis and Jenna Ellis and Mayor Giuliani from New York call out reporters and the FBI. Let's listen to her talk in her glory days when she was tough and strong.
We want to make sure to protect election integrity, and your president, President Trump, we are so proud that he is in this fight because he understands that when he swore his oath of office, he swore an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution. That is what he is doing. And that is what we are doing. We are confident that through this multiple pathway to victory, we will get to the actual outcome that the evidence shows. But this is not about overturning an election on our part. It's about making sure that we protect and preserve free and fair elections for all future American elections. If the United States caves to corruption or this type of election integrity disaster, then no election will be secure from here on out. And we all need to be keenly aware of that. We are the representatives here that are standing in this gap and defending President Trump and defending you, the American people, at the end.
That was a very different Jenna 2 years ago as she stood defiantly and was fighting for this cause. After being pulled in, first of all, she don't look half as good as she looked in that video. I guess when you're facing prison time and felonies, and you're pulled into a RICO case, you don't look so hot. And you cry like a baby.
Thank you, Your Honor, for the opportunity to address the court. As an attorney who is also a Christian, I take my responsibilities as a lawyer very seriously, and I endeavor to be a person of sound moral and ethical character in all of my dealings. In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true. In the frenetic pace of attempting to raise challenges to the election in several states, including Georgia, I failed to do my due diligence. I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges. I look back on this whole experience with deep remorse. For those...
Can you hear the train coming in? Throw Donald Trump under the train. Sidney Powell, all these people that were so tough and defiant and we're going to fight to the end and we're going to do what's right for the American people, when they got faced with court and charges and felonies, they were never true believers. A true believer would have went to trial. A true believer would have never said what she said, and a true believer wouldn't be sobbing like a baby. She wouldn't be, I wish I never met Trump. You saw the video before. You saw it now. So did she do it for clout? Did she get involved in that case just because of money? It wasn't for what she believed, I can tell you that much. Or did she fold like most people do? In any event, if you're wondering what's going to happen to her, she has about 5 years of probation. She has a small fine of $5,000 or $6,000, no jail time. And if she behaves, they will wipe her record clear as a first-time offender. So, you know, she got off pretty much. Now, what it costed her, I don't know, because she's an attorney herself. But in any event, it seems like a lot of the people that were fighting. Now, I think the next one to go up is Giuliani. That's going to be an interesting one. And I wonder if Rudy will get up there and cry for his freedom. I don't think so. And I'm not trying to pick on them, because we all know how charged the last election was. And I would say half the country doesn't believe the outcome. It just doesn't. And I think the only thing that I agree with her on is that when she spoke about this 2 years ago, was that we need to make sure that they are secure. In today's day and age, when we all have phones, fingerprints, IDs, there is no excuse why every American citizen cannot identify in a fashion that secures the integrity of our elections. Now, I don't think we should ever have these types of issues or these types of concerns as Americans. We're supposed to lead the way in democracy. And this is like literally the foundation of the entire ideal that this country was founded on. And I can't say that a lot of us didn't feel weird with mail-in ballots and this and that. And it was looking really third world, man. The last election was looking real third world country, man. And only an asshole can't see it. And I don't care if you're on the right or the left, because I'm a libertarian. I lean kind of towards the right. Sometimes if the left has a good point and they make sense, I'm with them. I'm with whoever makes sense and has decency and morals, who believes in God, country, family. That doesn't mean that I might not be with the other side when they're right on an issue. So, for example, I'm against America getting involved in another war on behalf of another country that really doesn't do anything for us. And it's not because I'm anti-Israeli or anti-Semitic and I love Jews and have thousands of... I'm tired of our fucking country being pulled into war after war after war as our national deficit goes through the top. They borrow money because they can't keep the government functioning. They keep raising the debt ceiling. Yet we're authorizing hundreds and billions of dollars that's borrowed to go and destroy other countries that we've done time and time again. And then we wonder why everyone hates us and why the sentiment is the way it is in the world stage and why people are saying that our country's collapsing. And I believe that. I believe, I really do. I think we are in the last couple of decades of this country, if not sooner. I definitely believe we are on the last days of the U.S. dollar. Between the BRICS system, between our deficit, between the way we print money, between inflation, and all of this war. And if you're someone that's spiritual and believes in God or karma or whatever you want to call it, there is a reckoning coming for our country. There is a reckoning, a cosmic reckoning, in my opinion, coming to this nation because of how far from what's ethical, what's right, justice, truth, dignity, human life. I believe if we don't have a miraculous change, we are in the final days of this nation. That if we even survive what's coming in the future, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, a year from now, 6 months from now, if any of us survive what might be Armageddon, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, that if any of us do survive the collapse of this nation, if we can't save it, that we will have looked back and said, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have said more. I wish I wouldn't have been scared to state my opinion. I wish I would have stood by the people that were standing up for what's right. And that's up to you, what you think's right or wrong. Everybody thinks they're right. Everybody thinks the other person's wrong. When the reason there's so much passion here is because everyone kind of has some truth in their perception, right? Like their reality is real to them. If you're a minority in this country, the way it's perceived, the way things can work, the way you're taught, there's so many things that go into the way someone thinks and their perception of the world. The biggest problem we have is not being able to put our shoes in the other person's, you know, to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. That's whether you're an Israeli looking at the Palestinian or a Palestinian looking at the Israeli. Democrat, Republican, gay, straight, Muslim, Christian, man, woman. Compassion, folks, is what we lack in this world. To truly put ourselves in someone's shoes is to have perspective and to really try to feel with no bias on our own of how that person may feel, how that community might feel, how their lives maybe have been affected by things that we don't perceive or we haven't experienced ourselves. But we live in a time where everyone's being radicalized, galvanized is a better word, and it seems like we're all at each other's throats. And what's going on in the Middle East is just another hair on the camel's back that might be the one that breaks it if this war escalates out of control. Now, in some positive news in that conflict, because all we've seen is videos and pictures of thousands of civilians. I can't stand to see the pictures that I'm seeing, the videos that I'm seeing, that are just completely horrific of what's happening in Gaza. I also can't stand seeing the videos of the Hamas militants killing civilians, clearly in some of those videos. But I think there's a point where you kind of cross the line and you're kind of using what I consider to be excessive force. If you have a population, which is 50% basically, children under the age of 14, and you're blowing up entire buildings, I mean, there has to be some restraint here. You have to be held to a higher standard. Otherwise, you're just as guilty as the people you claim to be going after. You're doing exactly to them what they did to your innocence. And for people that are not Palestinian or Israeli, we're watching this. And regardless of what happened to you, we see brutality. We see it. I see excessive force. I really do. That's why I call for a ceasefire. I'm praying for a ceasefire. And I think with Hamas releasing these hostages, I think they're up to four now. I think they're showing that they're willing to give up the rest of them. They seem to be in good shape. This one that was taken in, she's 85 years old with another 79-year-old. She described that they were treated well and blah, blah, blah. Now, keep in mind, they still have her husband, so maybe she's just saying that because of that. But the other hostages said the same thing, the other two that were released before her. And, you know, it might be contrary to what people thought, the way they would be handled or treated under captivity from Hamas, who I condemn for attacking civilians, for kidnapping people, which is a violation of Geneva Convention, but Israel's doing just as much, if not more, in retaliation. And that's the fucking truth. And if you don't like it, fuck you. Unsub, unfollow. I gotta be fair here. What is happening in Gaza is nothing short of a disaster. It's sad, it's disgusting, and it needs to stop. As someone that lost his family in war, the hardest thing I ever had to learn was to not hate, was to not classify all Serbs as the same. I had a Serbian send me a message the other day. For those of you that are naive or ignorant of the conflict that my people fought, is kind of similar to Israel and Hamas, in the sense that we both claim territory that's crucial to us. Serbians believe it's their religious homeland. So some of that ethnic tone and religious tone was involved in our conflict. But I had a Serbian, and these are the people that massacred my family, destroyed my people, ethnically cleansed them until NATO got involved. And to this day, the majority of them still want to kill and reinvade Kosovo, and I get death threats on them every day. But I've also gotten messages, like I got a couple days ago, and I won't say his name for his own security, because I'll probably send him death threats, of a Serbian who moved to America, and I will quote the message. He stated, "I would like to come to the protest to condemn the violence committed by the Serbians that crossed the border 2 weeks ago and killed a police officer in Kosovo. I thank you for not condemning all Serbians, but our government." That's the key here, folks. And he sent me this message where he literally, as a Serbian, was going to come and join the Albanians to try to bring attention to what happened in Kosovo 2 weeks ago. And that's what I mean by putting everyone in one box, blowing everyone up that's around the enemy. To me, what I don't understand, and again, I don't blame Israel for wanting to hunt down Hamas and take them out for what they did. But to use the excuse of human shields, and that's why we have collateral damage, would be like to blame a victim in a bank robbery that's being held hostage by bank robbers, so you blow the whole fucking bank up and the customers that were in the bank die. If police people did that, if the SWAT team did that in America, they'd all be fired and charged. That is not how you extract a criminal from a bank scenario. Now, I understand this is a much bigger strip. There's tunnels. There's all kinds of shit. But since you want to hunt them down, well, maybe you should just fucking go in there and hunt them down. If you have any courage, and if you have any compassion for civilian life, for babies, for children that we are seeing blown up. I wish we could see a couple pictures, and I understand how propaganda works too. I wish I could see a couple pictures of some guys with machine guns, with fucking bandanas. I haven't seen one picture yet. All I see is children after children after child after child. Out of the 5,000 plus, we know already 2,000 plus were children. So almost one out of two that's dying is collateral damage, but it's okay because they're human shields. They're human shields. It's not our fault. I give the analogy, if I was a SWAT team member, hostage negotiator, they have human shields. Stand down, everyone. Stand down. Stand down. They have human shields. Stand down. That's the first fucking thing the SWAT team would do. Ask any of them. Then they would try to negotiate. But bombing relentlessly without knowing what's the toll on this civilian. I understand it's home, get out of the north to the south. But they hit the south too a few times. That's the truth. So that's my whole thing. Is like, I support your going after the people that killed 1,500 civilians in Israel and kidnapped 200 others. but I can never stand by that type of violence and retaliation and revenge. And as someone who lost his family in war, executed, the only one that survived is my first cousin. He has over 30 bullets in his fucking body to this day, who watched his own first cousins be massacred in front of him, from a people that were raped, pushed out of their homeland, forced to live all over the world, treated as third-class citizens in a country that we've lived in for a very long time. I'm proud that my people never stooped to that level. There was no organized go after the civilians. You know, it was a war of liberation. And what a lot of people forget about the Kosovo conflict is that in the beginning, the Albanians from Kosovo were not even seeking independence. All they wanted was their rights restored, their autonomy restored under the Milosevic regime. When Milosevic came to power, he did a brutal crackdown. He stripped them completely of their rights. They tried to get their rights back. As the brutality increased and as the rest of Yugoslavia crumbled, the Albanians in Kosovo declared their independence, but they did not seek violence to get that freedom. It was only when the world left Kosovo off the negotiating table during the Dayton Accords in Ohio that the Albanians began their armed resistance around 1997. This is all documented. You could be Serbian and hate my guts, but the truth is the truth. Go look at the protests starting back in the 80s. Just demanding equal rights, treatment. Never were asking for independence. They just wanted their autonomy restored. And under Tito, Albanians did really well. That's the truth. I hate to admit it. But if you look at the videos, they're out there celebrating him with flags. It's not because he was the dictator, and that's what he was. He was a dictator. But he treated them the way he treated the rest of all the other people that lived there. So they had a brief time that everyone kind of got along and everyone had a life. And then the country went to hell. I've learned a lot about the world since I was younger. And I understand how global powers work. I also understand that the majority of the leaders in the former Yugoslavia and those countries are put in place by people from Western powers. Big people with big money. Soros backs a lot of the elections. And the people of the Balkans still want to kill each other when really they have the same common threat. In any event, during this last week, yesterday, they freed the hostages. And we'll give you a little bit of a soundbite there.
By Hamas yesterday, 85-year-old Yeshevet Lifshitz spoke out about her ordeal. She was released alongside 79-year-old Nurit Cooper. Both of their husbands, however, remain captive in Gaza. And this comes as Israeli strikes on Gaza continues, with the country's military claiming to have struck over 400 Hamas targets in the last 24 hours, as the region braces for an expected Israeli ground invasion of Gaza.
I mean, these buildings just disappear.
Senior foreign correspondent Charlie Daggett has more from Israel for us. Charlie,
when they're hit with that type of technology. So again, my only complaint to the Israelis, as someone on the outside, between two friends, I got love for the Arab world. I got love for the Jewish nation, for Jewish people. My country is the only country that saved them during the Holocaust. My family was involved with the royal family, which rescued approximately over 6,000 Jews by some estimates. Today, there's 160,000 Jews alive because of the efforts of the Albanian nation. And this is a story that should be shared and told around the world. So they freed the hostages. From what she said, the 89-year-old woman, they treated them really well. Again, she could be suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. She could be scared because they still have her husband in custody. And I'm not playing devil's advocate, but I wouldn't say anything bad if my husband was still in their clutches. Business Insider reports, photos show Gaza's church of St. Porphyrius, I can't say it correctly, so forgive me. It's a Greek Orthodox church, one of the oldest churches in the world, after the complex was damaged by Israeli airstrikes. This Greek Orthodox church in Gaza City is among the oldest churches in the world. Airstrikes carried out by the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, on October 19 damaged part of the church complex and killed 18 people. according to the Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem. In a statement to the Insider, the IDF confirmed that it was behind the strike, which was aimed at Hamas command center, and said the incident was under review. The IDF can unequivocally state the church was not the target of the strike. In any event, it's a tragedy to humanity when such a historical place, a beautiful church of the Orthodox faith, of which many Albanians also follow, was hit and damaged. I mean, it's ancient, it's priceless, it can't be rebuilt the way it was before the damage occurred. And these types of scenes are heartbreaking. You can see a beautiful painting, looks like a mosaic, lying in the rubble of this beautiful heritage site, because that's what this thing is. I mean, it's so old, and it's just sad that these things are happening. Oh, Blinken, before you blink an eye, we'll probably be in war with Iran the way things are looking, and I pray to God that we don't go to war with Iran. I really, really pray. I really don't think it's going to be as easy as we think. It's going to open up another Pandora's box. That whole region seemed to calm down lately. Like, I really hope that they're not going to start this thing and spread it. I know Israel's been dying to hit Iran for a long time. Remember they were trying to convince us? You had Bibi up there, and he had the picture of the, they're about to be nuclear. They're about to make a bomb. He was dying. That was in 2012. He stood in front of the UN. They're about a couple weeks away from making a nuclear weapon. Never happened. He's dying to take them out. I don't know what, you know, why, but I just really hope we don't go into this conflict. I'm praying that we don't. Blinken warns Iran at UN Security Council, we will defend our people. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, this is in the Post, told the UN Security Council Tuesday that while the U.S. does not seek war with Iran, Washington will not hesitate to defend our security. Now, allegedly, there's been some drone attacks and stuff like that across the ocean. Some of them from Syria, some of them from Iraq, supposedly. The Houthi rebels from Yemen, which are supposedly backed by Iran, which is why 24 million people almost died of starvation. And the whole thing is just a complete shit show that if this thing launches, man, could pull the entire Middle East into war. And their allies, Russia, China, sent warships. Again, it's a little bit of a repeat of yesterday. How many more wars can America afford to start? Especially when it's not on its behalf. Axios reports top Biden official, Israel-Gaza war could spiral into a bigger conflict. In a 7,000-word tour of the globe's future, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan writes that amid Middle East peril, America needs a long-term, sustained sense of confidence in our capacity to outcompete any country. And basically, the empire is at risk. You got the BRICS system coming in. We got the election around the corner. We got a war in Ukraine. We got a war in Israel. We have other conflicts throughout the globe that can spark up in a second. We got China that's probably going to go after Taiwan. And we have a president that's on the beach every day almost. Like, even 50 Cent made fun of this guy the other day. Like, people that were really not getting involved in politics are, like, starting to, like, tweet things. And, like, I think everyone just can't take it anymore. Like, everyone's like, what the hell is going on? And I find it kind of ironic that all these groups that were supported by the left, like Black Lives Matter, all the people that are protesting right now on the streets, like, they're turning on them. What I'm scared of is something happening on American soil. Our border has been wide open for years now. Millions of people have gotten in. And I can't say that, how could any leader, a politician say that that was the right thing to do for America, for its security, leaving the border open during these dangerous times? It makes you wonder, did they do it on purpose? And if something happens, was it on purpose? Did we allow them to come in? Because who can justify leaving the border wide open? Anybody come in? Just come on in. Don't worry about it. You don't need to be screened, checked for any type of diseases. Just come on in. Come on down. We'll fly you all over the place. New York City said, we'll welcome you. We're a safe city for you to come to. Now you're saying this could destroy New York forever. This is what Mayor Adams said 2 weeks ago. This is the hypocrisy that people have when they can't think more than 2 days behind, 3 days behind, let alone 75 years ago how this conflict started in Gaza and Israel. People don't have memories of what these assholes said last month. Yeah, we'll bring all the illegal aliens to New York City. Now they go, no, we can't take them no more. It's going to destroy the fabric of New York. You were welcoming them with open hands. You were welcoming these people with open hands. They're camping in the best hotels in New York City now on our dime. Our streets are garbage. We have no money. Half the stores in New York City are empty. Half the office buildings are empty. We send billions of dollars to destroy other countries and help other countries destroy other countries. That doesn't benefit me or you in America. I have my friend Eric Patrick Thomas, still lives in Michigan, in Flint. He does not have clean water to drink. He does not have clean water to take a bath. He is quadriplegic. He cannot move anything from his neck down. He has to buy water to bathe. He's an American. He deserves clean water. And the majority of that area is a minorities. African American. Living in those conditions with water that is toxic. But we can send billions of dollars to countries to help them fight and blow up other countries. And people will want to debate geopolitics and it's in America's interest. Has it been in our interest? Was 20 years in Afghanistan in our interest? We're going to take out the Taliban. That's what George Bush Jr. said. We're going to take out the Taliban. 20 years later, trillions of dollars. That's why people go back like, what are you? How can I be a Republican when all they do is blow up half the world? They're dying for war right now with Iran on behalf of Israel. You could see they're fucking, like they're fucking, they can't wait to go to war. So this is where I'm not with them. Even though ideologically, I'm a God-fearing man. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe marriage should be, you know, traditional nuclear family. Although people have the right to do whatever they want in America. But ideologically, spiritually, I am someone that follows a belief system in God. That is a lifestyle. Just like someone has a lifestyle choice. Hey, what you do in your bedroom is between you and the person you're doing it with. And if you want to get married, that's between you and the government. They said you can do it. It's like, what I'm saying is it doesn't affect me. I'm not trying to push my lifestyle on you. We got a problem when you're trying to push yours on me. That's the problem right now in America. I don't own this country. I'm the son of refugees. I don't have the right to tell people they don't have the right to get married or whatever they want to do. That's cool. You two adults, you live in America. We all have guaranteed rights. I can't speak against that. I won't. But I will speak when you try to come against me and mine. Leave me and my kids out of it. Simple. You want to identify as a fucking rhinoceros or whatever? I don't care. It does not affect me. I don't care. It does not bother me. What bothers me is when you try to push your ideology on me and my family. And you don't have a fucking right to do that. And I don't have a right to do that to you and your family. That's the problem. Live and let live. So people say, you know, what are you? Well, I have to align myself with, I guess, libertarian. If there's even a good leader in that, I don't know. But I believe that the government should be tiny. Taxes should be 1/100th of what they are. They shouldn't be allowed to just start wars without the American people agreeing. And they shouldn't be butting into our lives, shutting us down. Who the fuck are they? That's not what this country was founded on. This country was about telling authoritarian type rulers to go fuck off. Like we told the King of England, go fuck off. Fuck you and your 2% tax. Now we're being charged like 50, 60, 70% tax. Between federal tax, state income tax, tolls, inflation, tariffs from other countries, while we allow all our goods to go for nothing. People want to talk about the left. The left allowed China into the World Trade Organization. Go listen to Bill Clinton's speech in 1992, I think it was, or three. He made it sound like it was the best thing in the fucking world. He smiled, so charismatic. Fucking sold this country out. Allowed slave labor into the world labor pool. Literally slave labor. 2 million Uyghurs. Concentration camp. Nobody seems to give a fuck about them. Where's the Geneva Conventions? Where is the Western world? Why aren't sanctions placed? Because the whole thing is fucked. The corruption has seeped in into every level, from business to politics to governance to fucking everything. Bob Menendez is getting fucking gold bars and envelopes. Senator from New Jersey, who I've met, by the way, once. He's got chubby little cheeks. He got chubby little cheeks. He's fucked, I think. In any event, sorry for the F-bombs today. I'm just, you know, there's no script here, folks. I'm speaking from the heart, no filter. It is what it is. Israel willing to delay Gaza invasion to discuss large release of hostages. So they're kind of holding off on this operation. They've been amassing massive amounts of artillery, tanks, hard equipment. I mean, they're right on the board. Like, they're ready to go in. Maybe these hostages being released is kind of like a way to show Hamas, like, I wouldn't come in if I was you. Look, they're alive, they're healthy, you know, but if you come in, there's no bets. U.S. warns it will defend the Philippines after South China Sea collisions. This is the diplomat reporting. United States has repeated its warning that it is a treaty bound to defend the Philippines in case of an armed attack in the South China Sea. There's been a lot of conflict back and forth in the South China Sea. China claims it's theirs, Philippines. You know, all these other countries are getting involved there. There's been a lot of, like, shows of force. China continues to build up their navy. They've sent 6 ships to the Middle East. They just did a practice with Oman. You know, they did some exercises with Oman. So we helped create our own maybe future potential enemy. But we seem to be good at that because we also helped give life to that Islamic regime in Iran. This is what I find mind-boggling. As an American, we sent our boys to North Korea and South Korea to fight in the Korean War. We sent them to Nam, Vietnam, to fight the commies. And then we give life to the greatest superpower of communism ever. You explain how that shit makes sense to me. It's like spitting on the grave of every soldier that gave his life to this country. Every American who died in the fields of Vietnam, who died in the fields of Korea, to fight against the red tide. And then we allow a Chinese superpower to form. An atheist, godless one. That maybe one day we're going to have to fight. That everything that used to be made here is no longer made here. If that doesn't make you angry as an American, I don't know. And they're all guilty of it. Both sides of the aisle. That's why I'll never identify as them. I will not get caught into that two-party trap that they sit there and blame each other back and forth, and then they're across the street from the Capitol Hill having beers and laughing about how they got this much money in lobby and that much money in lobby. Because that's what happened to our country. It was eroded from within. And I'm praying for a miracle. And I'm praying for peace. And I'm praying for God to bless this nation once again. And I'm praying for the American people to wake up and realize that their brothers and sisters, regardless of how they classify their gender, whether you want to say you have a pee-pee and you really have a wee-wee, which is really the same thing, but you know what I mean. I don't care what you want to call yourself. At the end of the day, if this country should perish, if this country should fall, if the dollar should collapse, the American dream will go with it. And when people say the American dream means you got a shot, man. You have a chance to do something with your life. First world problems, not third world problems like where's my electricity coming from, food and water. I really hope that we wake up because we're really way past. Like the alarm has gone off already. And we keep hitting the snooze button and eventually we're going to miss the deadline to salvation if we keep hitting that snooze button. And the American people have been asleep for a long time. Rocked to sleep with entertainment and cars and food and entertainment and football and hockey. Rocked to sleep. As long as it didn't affect you and your household, you didn't care. You didn't pay attention. You didn't worry about what happened in Detroit because you live in Florida. And we didn't realize how important each state is to each state and how we as Americans have to care about our country. Because it's a beautiful country. And I drove from one side to the other and from the other side and back. And I felt just sad to see how massive our nation is. How rich it truly is. How beautiful it really, really is. From the mountaintops to the streams, to the beaches, to the cities. Utah was like visiting another planet. I've never seen anything like Utah. What a beautiful place. Just to drive through was a privilege. And for us to be where we are, economically, politically, in the world, makes me sad. Really makes me sad. And I'm really praying that God saves this country because I truly believe we're in trouble. I really do. And it doesn't matter if you vote left or right. It really doesn't matter. For those of you that know me, you know where I stand with that also. There's a lot we don't know about that goes on behind the scenes. Praying for a miracle. Not too far away from where I'm at currently, an Israeli flag was stolen from the front of Hoboken City Hall. I don't think that was a nice thing to do, but at the end of the day, why are national flags of other countries being flown? Like Ukrainian flag. It's different if you're Ukrainian American. It's different if you want to support Ukraine as a person. I'm not against that. I feel horrible what's happening to Ukrainian people. But government buildings should be for the American government, not for foreign countries to make their cause or rally support. This is America. This is not Ukraine. This is not Israel. When the Kosovo War was going on, I never saw the Albanian flag being flown up in support. So, like, why do certain countries get that privilege over other nationalities? So these are questions that people probably have. In other news, 12 Mexican police officers were killed in a brazen ambush near Acapulco. A dozen police officers and local security supervisor were killed Monday in a brutal ambush in a coastal town north of Acapulco. The latest attack by criminal gangs that are openly confronting authorities in a state known for heroin poppy production. Now, I have friends that go to Mexico all the time. My best friend just got back actually 4 or 5 days ago. I still have not gone. I do not feel safe to go there. I've seen stories, and from what I understand, there's a lot of stories that are not even put in the press of what happens because it would damage their tourism. So that's a state that I'm just not going to go to until they get their shit together. Sorry. And I know it's beautiful. And I guess the last story I want to cover is there was a huge pileup. There was some fog down in New Orleans. And it was made worse by wildfires, and 158 vehicles in the northbound and southbound lanes along a stretch of Louisiana's Interstate 55. And I've driven to Louisiana about 20 times in my life. Unusually dense layer of fog was partly to blame for the accidents. The low visibility can, so like I saw videos of this pile up, guys. It was horrific. It's just another reminder that every time you get into your car, you are driving a weapon of mass destruction. Anything could go wrong. When speed is involved, no visibility, you really should be checking your weather forecast before you travel. I don't mess with fog. I've driven through it a few times in my life. It is dangerous. Blizzards, etc. It is crazy to look at this scene. It's like a post-apocalyptic smashing of cars, completely burned. Like, it's just insane. I don't know how anybody survived that. And it just shows you just how scary it is every time you get behind a wheel on a freeway. Because it might be the highway to hell. Highway to hell. And our infrastructure is like crashing. Germany, I drove on the Autobahn a few times. Man, it's crazy. Driving 150 miles an hour on a straight, perfect line. I'm sure they have accidents once in a while too. But their roads are really smooth, like nice. It was kind of scary though, driving. I'm not going to lie, driving 150, 160 miles an hour, and I've done it. But on the Autobahn in Germany, it's crazy. And they don't get in that left lane unless they're really going to take off. Because you'll see Ferraris and Lamborghinis behind you all day. And Benzes, of course. So that's kind of what's been going on around the world. I am going to be bringing on more guests, guys. You know, I have the podcast. I bring interesting cats on. I've been the guest on many podcasts. I will be on the Concrete, now called the Danny Jones Podcast. The episode should be out anytime in the next week or two, where I get into aliens or demons. Or are we the aliens? I'll also be talking about the evil eye. Is it real or not? And is it why so many celebrities die? That'll be the show that I'm on as a guest. I'm going to be making a lot more appearances. I want to thank Tyrese Gibson for posting a lot of my clips on his wall on Instagram, you know, from the Fast and the Furious. There's been a lot of really cool things developing. And like I said, Thursday, I'm going to hang out with my good friend, Rachel Ray, celebrity chef and cook. If you subscribe to my Instagram, you'll get to kind of see my behind the scenes of my everyday life and some of the cool stuff that I do not post. Only for those who want to whore me out. In any event, your money helps me grow. I love what I do. Clearly, you guys do too. I could use the help. I'm trying to expand. I'm trying to hire more people. I want to pump out all types of content, not just commentary about news, not just interviews. I want to do reels in the streets. I'm launching a second show out of the Comic Strip Live, the legendary comedy club. It's going to be a more casual show, a more fun show, because I'm a versatile motherfucker. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about life and just general stuff, because this stuff, honestly, guys, is very heavy on the soul. Yes, I'm going to continue doing this work, but I want to have some fun too. And I want you to see the other side of Beck Lover. So check it out. Thanks for subscribing. This is the Beck Lover Podcast Live, where you might learn a thing or two about life. See you on the next episode. Beck Lover. Beck Lover.